Well, I made up my mind years ago when I got old. I saw old fellas getting out of the car and hobbling around and said, when I got old, I wasn't going to act old, but something happened. And I'm not exactly sure just what it is. My, it's good to see y'all on the holiday weekend. And I tell you what, this is a surprise to me. But when they called and asked if I would participate in Bill Bramlett's 50th anniversary, I said, I'll make every effort. I wanted to come to Brother Tom Vature's memorial service, I mean, but I just wasn't able to physically, and I've been puny some ways. One of the, not too long ago, I guess maybe a year ago, I went and preached at Selah, and on the way home, I dropped by a convenience store, made a drive-through out of it, and ever since then, I thank the Lord that nobody got hurt, and I didn't get hurt, and I'm still here to tell about it, but I'm a little more cautious. I'd hate to hurt somebody else from my negligence, but it's wonderful how the Lord works things together. You know, yesterday I mentioned that, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. If we love the Lord, all things are going to work out good if we're active in His service and serving Him. It's His promise. And when they called about coming to Bill Bramlett this deal, I had no idea that, I mean, I'd just forgotten. I thought that Memorial Day was the 30th or 31st or something of whatever, 30 days of September, April, June, and the 31st, you know. But lo and behold, I found out when I got over here, it's Memorial Day. Now, every time I get close to the Gig Harbor Cemetery, I go by to put flowers on Norma's grave. That's a precious time for me. And but anyhow, I didn't realize it was going to be Memorial Day weekend, and I had just a perfect time to go by. I went by this morning and left flowers on her grave and looked over there and saw Mrs. Hilliard's grave not very far away and so forth. And it reminded me years ago, now, I'll get to preaching after a while, I'm talking now. But years ago, while the kids were in school, for maybe two or three years, Norma worked in a flower shop. We had members of our church that had a greenhouse and flower shop, and so she'd work in the flower shop, you know, and she'd always leave after the kids went to school, and she was home when they got back from school. She just worked the hours that they were away in school. And one day she told me, she said, Mr. Jones sent Mrs. Jones flowers today. Big deal. And a little while later, I mean a few days later, Mr. Anderson sent Mrs. Anderson flowers today. I said, you wouldn't want flowers. You work with them all day long. I mean, in a flower shop. And I said, besides that, I could buy you a dress, and a year from now, you can still be wearing it. I said, in a couple of weeks, the flowers are all gone, and it's wasted money. And she gave me a bit of wisdom I'd never thought of. She said, sometimes women think it's nice to spend money wasted on them. And, So, even with her grave down there and my name on the stone beside it, I don't feel like it's wasted money. I think it's an investment. Thank God for memories. I mean, that's what the Memorial Day is all about, memories. I was just telling Brother Houston One of the scriptures I was thinking of is Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. It says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, when the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." And I can see some of you old codgers out there, you say, that don't apply to me. I'm not young anymore. Remembering the Lord in the days of your youth. I'll just let you in on a secret. You're younger today than you'll ever be from now on. I mean, and so you better remember the Lord now. Don't forget him. In fact, memory is such a wonderful thing. I think of Brother Isaac Koppel that couldn't carry on a conversation that you could understand, so handicapped. But amazingly, he set aside money that he didn't spend. My daddy'd bring him to church, and after a while he got where he couldn't come to church, but he worked at the shipyard and on the handicap program, and he had stuck some money away in CDs that he didn't spend. I won't go into the details of the poverty like he lived in with his mama. One day my daddy went by there to visit him and couldn't raise anybody, and his mama was in a nursing home by then. They got a hold of the police. They broke down the door, and he'd been dead for a few days or whatever in the house. They rummaged through his things, and finally he found some papers. And in the papers he said, if I pass away or when I do, I had a lawyer friend one time, a Christian lawyer. Did you know they were any like that? But I mean, anyhow, he was a Christian lawyer. He said a man came in and wanted to make his will out. And he says, if I should die, and he says, stop right there. He says, not if you should die, you're going to die. I mean, it's when you die. But anyhow, he wrote out his will and said, after my mama's taken care of, as long as she lives, I want anything left to go to Westside Baptist Church. And that was the impetus, the start of a building program. Now I tell you what, there's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears by men and women building this. But my daddy would be so amazed if he could see it now, how beautiful it was a pretty building when he built it. But man, yeah, just everything. You're keeping it up so well and improved it so well. And those rhododendrons, I forgot how beautiful they were over here in the west side. Memories. Memories. That's what Memorial Day is. It's Memory Day. There's a song sometimes we sing, precious memories, how they linger, how they ever flood my soul. I thank the Lord for memories. I thank the Lord for the memory of Brother Ragsdale as he'd lead songs, and his hearing would get so bad. I mean, hearing aids and so forth. And then I think of Brother Morris, bless his heart, and I mean, his faithfulness all through the years, and the memory of Brother Bill Calhoun, and Brother Vature, and the memory of Brother Balder, and I know there's a whole bunch more that I haven't mentioned. A lot of dear ladies as well. Thank the Lord for the memories. It thrills you. It tugs at your heart when you see a church full of people on a Memorial Day holiday weekend. Funny thing is, the Lord said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I tell you what, once you're saved, born again, you've repented of your sin and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He saves you. He moves in and he never forgets you. Amen. In fact, when people are cast into hell, he says, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. It isn't that I forgot you. He just don't forget his children. But God does forget. He chooses to forget. He forgets our sins that we confess to Him. He can't remember them anymore. He won't. He chooses to forget our sins. How wonderful it is. Amen. To be redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now then, one of the things about getting old is you get forgetful. I mean, you folks, others do. But somebody told me the reason the Lord don't give old folks kids, they lay them down and forget where they put them. Anyhow, forgetfulness. But the Apostle Paul said it's good for Christians to forget, or he says it's good for me. I forget those things which are behind, and I press forward to the mark of the prize of the high calling of Jesus. Don't go back and live in past memories and past victories, and sure don't go back and live in past failures. He did me wrong. I'll never forget it. I may forgive him, but I won't forget. The Apostle Paul says, I forget those things which are behind. I don't let them bug me. How wonderful it is to forget some things, but how wonderful it is to remember other things. I think one of the first instances of Memorial Day is found in the 12th chapter of the book of John. I always like to think of this. Jesus left home and he went into a far country. He discovered America in a barn, in a stable, manure, insects, animals. But that was the right place because he came to planet Earth to be the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And lambs are born in barns. I mean, you know, he was the right place. He came and was born in that stable. He was hated, despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And the same 53rd chapter of Isaiah tells us that all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, but the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Jesus, the 3.5 years in his ministry here on earth, one of his followers, his disciples, said, Jesus, we want to go home with you today. We want to see where you live. And Jesus said, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but said, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Now the Bible tells us in John, the 1st chapter, that he created all things. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. The creator of the universe is now homeless. Homeless. Without a where to lay his head. Has nowhere to lay his head. But one day, I suppose he was out teaching or preaching, and a little gal heard him. And said, Jesus, excuse me, I can imagine this. This is not in the Bible, but I can imagine her saying, would you come to our house, visit us? She rushes home and says, Martha, Martha, get busy. And we got to get the house in order. We're going to have company. And a knock came on the door and Jesus was there. And they invited him in. In Bethany, a little place, Mary and Martha, two sisters, lived. And Jesus found a home away from home. And I tell you, over and over again in the Bible, you read about how that Jesus went to Bethany. And if you read far enough, you'll find when he went back to heaven, he ascended from Bethany. Wow! His home away from home. I wonder if Jesus feels at home in our home. I mean, if it's a home away from home for him. Now, there's some people believe that there was a fellow that had been a leper that was the brother-in-law of Mary. I don't know. Simon the leper, they say. There was a big feast for Jesus. Mary and Martha put it on. Man, oh man, everybody was enjoying themselves. I can imagine the thought came in her mind, what can I do? What can I do for Jesus? He saved me. My life's never been the same since I met Jesus. Since he came to our house, our home's never been the same. What can I do for Jesus? She may have looked across the table and saw Simon the leper that wasn't a leper anymore after he met Jesus. What can I do for Jesus? And the thought came in her mind. She had a hope chest. You know, girls have hope chests. I mean, she had a hope chest. She had saved and scraped and a whole year's wages, they say, it was equivalent to. It was an alabaster box of precious ointment that was up in the closet, probably in the closet, maybe wrapped in velvet, I don't know. But she slipped in there and got it. This alabaster box didn't have it wasn't like Avon, it didn't have a screw-on lid on top or something that you push to spray. The only way you get the perfume out was take a hammer or something and break that alabaster box before it can pour. You know what? That's a wonderful thing for us. The only thing that God uses is broken things. When we're willing to be broken before him, he can use us. The world throws away broken things. Every one of us are sinners saved by grace if you're saved and heaven's your home. I can imagine if she broke that alabaster box and she didn't want the attention of everybody. She just wanted to show her love for Jesus. She came in and anointed his body. Let's read about it. The 12th chapter of the book of John. It's written several places, recorded several places in the Bible, but we'll look at this one. It says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that had sat at the table with him. What? I thought Lazarus was dead. Yeah, he had been dead, buried for 4 days. But he's alive now, and he's sitting at the table with him. And Martha served. She was always such a worker. And said Lazarus was there. Lazarus was one of them which sat at the table with him, the third verse. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was therein. And Jesus speaks up. Then he said, and then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying, she kept this. In one of the other gospels, it says this, she did it for a memorial. Did it for a memorial day. Said she's decorating my grave with the roses before Jesus ever died. I mean, with the ointment. Said she, for my burying, she has kept this. For the poor you have always with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that many might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. And also tells us that many believed on Jesus. And let's pray. Okay? Our Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your presence right here in our midst. Lord, speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, not to forget thee. Father, we ask that thou wilt continue to bless Westside Baptist Church and Brother Houston and the entire staff. And Father, help us every day to be faithful until you call us home. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Now then, the forgetfulness. It could not be a sad thing. Do you remember back here in the Old Testament? Joseph was cast into a pit by his brothers. Can't you imagine? He weeps and cries and begs. The Bible also tells us in the Psalms that he was tied up in irons in his hands. I mean, like a captive, a prisoner. And he was sold down into, taken out of the pit and sold down into Egypt. He was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife when he was trying to do the right thing, and he was cast into prison. But in prison one day, it seemed like he read it over and over there. It says, and the Lord was with him, and the Lord was with him, and the Lord never forgot him. I mean, he was with him all the way through. One morning he woke up and there was a baker and a butler, and each one of them had troubling dreams. And he told them the answer to the dreams. And when the butler was set free, he says, now, when you go back before Pharaoh, remember me. But the butler forgot him. Forgot him. Until the day came that the king, Pharaoh had a terrible dream, and he said, oh, I remember somebody that told me the answer to my dream. And Joseph was taken out of that prison and put in the palace. The prime minister of the country, he flew in the Air Force Two. And, but anyhow, you know what? The butler forgot him. His brothers rejected him, but God never forgot him. Amen. I'm so glad he never forgets us. There's a song sometimes we sing, thank you for the valley I walked through today. Glad the Lord's with us in the valleys of our life as well as on the mountain peaks of our life. Remembering is so important. The Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth. That word honor means remember them. Don't forget them. Take care of them. Love them. Respect them. Oh, how we need to remember our parents and honor them. And just as scripture earlier this evening, this morning rather, the Bible says, they that labor among you and are over you in the Lord, honor them. Honor them. It means to remember your pastor and the pastoral staff and those faithful teachers and workers, and don't forget them. Oh, how important it is that we pray one for another and that we encourage one another. One of my favorite Bible characters is Barnabas, the great encourager. My, oh my, how the Lord used him in encouraging. Everybody needs encouragement. I've heard that there's two ways to ruin a preacher. One is to brag on him and he gets proud. And the other one is not to brag on him and he gets broken hearted. But I think it's better to brag on him, pray for him, And the Lord takes care of the rest. Don't you worry about that. All righty. And I sure do thank the Lord the way he's used y'all. I can't imagine how you can get these many people in this building. Our pews wouldn't hold near this many. You know, there's something else that's tragic in the Bible. When those Israelites came out of Egypt after that Joseph had gone down there 400 years, better yet, the Lord took them out. He brought plagues. He took Moses. He took them through the Red Sea. Man, he led them to the wilderness. But they forgot him. They forgot him over and over. They murmured and complained and said, we want to go back to the leeks in Egypt and made a golden calf at one time and so forth. I tell you what, it's so easy to forget the Lord. It's so easy. The Bible says in the last days, the love of many will wax cold and there'll be those that left their first love. I mean, at one time we really loved the Lord, really served the Lord, but something happened. We forgot. Israel forgot over and over, but the Lord never did forget them. Sometimes he had to take them to the woodshed, but I tell you what, and he's not through with them yet. I mean, you know, you read about ISIS and all the rest, I mean, the troubles of the world, they're still his people. I mean, he's gonna use them and bless them. Well, there's so many other things I'd like to say, but back in 1929, the country of Japan had a horrible earthquake. A horrible earthquake, and the whole world responded in mercy and help. The United States was probably the greatest in the responding. And the Emperor of Japan said, we will never forget your kindness toward us. But something happened 12 years later at Pearl Harbor. Somebody forgot. Oh, how sad it is when the Lord's been so good to us. He does so much for us. And when we forget him, when we neglect him, then I think about remembering. Not only are we going to remember in lifetime, but I believe we will remember in eternity. The Bible tells us in the 16th chapter of the book of Luke that there was a man that was rich in his lifetime, but when he died, it says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and he seeth Lazarus afar off and in Abraham's bosom. And he said, Father Abraham, please. He cried for mercy. Now, it's wonderful for a sinner to cry for mercy, but it all has to happen before death. After death, it's too late for mercy. It's too late, but he cried for mercy. Oh, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. So I'm tormented in these flames. He remembered a lifetime. One of the saddest things I can think of is somebody in hell looking back and said, I remember when the gospel was preached. I heard that Jesus loved me and died on the cross for me and wanted me to be saved. And he forgave my sin and he gave me a new life and the joy and peace that only he could give. And I almost accepted him. Almost did it. I knew it was the right thing to do, but I just didn't do it. Oh, the memories of hell. I tell you what, the memories of eternity. I think probably in heaven, those loved ones that have gone before, they got some happy memories. A lot of it depends on what we do this morning. Whether we say, Lord, I'm going to remember you. I'm going to remember you in my prayer life. I'm going to remember you in my worship. I'm going to remember you in my time. I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to witness. I'm going to give. I'm going to remember you. It's a wise decision. One of these days, it'll be worth it all when we see Jesus Earth's trials will seem so small when we see him. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. Amen. It'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. Shall we stand together, please? Brother Pastor, would you come?
Lord Jesus, I pray that you'd help us today to be a people who remember your goodness and grace to us, that we would not soon forget all that you have done for us, that you who were righteous, holy, undefiled, were willing to take our place, were willing to die as our substitute. The just for the unjust, the righteous for the unrighteous. That we could have our lives made new, our eternity secured in the Lord Jesus. I pray that we would not be as the children of Israel were so many times, a people who hardened their heart and stiffened their neck and forget God. But that we would remember all that you have done for us, all that you have done for us as individuals, saving us from the greatest enemies of man, death, hell, and the grave, and giving to us who are in you life forevermore. Lord, we would not forget your ways and your word, that we would not become those who trust in themselves, who trust in the world, who trust in the culture, but those who would be committed, as Proverbs says, to trust in the Lord with all their heart and to lean not unto their own understanding. In all thy ways to acknowledge you, knowing that you shall direct our paths. Lord, help us to never forget your word, your instruction. Help us not to forsake the instruction of our father and the law of our mother that we have been taught. And Lord, as we were admonished with the beautiful picture in John 12, that we would not forget the greatest and most important reality, that we would remember that more important than doing to find favor with you is that we would realize that there is nothing that we can do, that you have done it all. You have brought the dead to life. You have promised us who were dead in trespasses and sins that we could have life forevermore, much like Lazarus illustrates, and that we would be like Mary, who broke the alabaster box and remembered worship, which was of preeminent importance, that it wasn't a waste. It was the right priority. And I pray that we would remember as a congregation, even as was admonished in the past 2 weeks, that we would not forget our first love, but that we would remember you and your goodness and your mercy and your love toward us, and that we would worship you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord Jesus, I pray today as we have opportunity to respond in prayer and worship and thanksgiving to you. Maybe even you have, Lord, pricked men's hearts to remember something in particular, that they would get a heart of gratitude about all that you've done for them. I pray that today that we would respond in prayer and adoration and worship. Lord, I thank you for bringing dear Brother Wamsgans to us today. I thank you, Father, that you have given him the health to be here today. And I pray that you would continue to bless he and Miss Sharon. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.